All right, the magic is alive for Toronto. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. You may not be a savage, but Trey is. We'll get into that young dude in a moment. I'm going to lean into that. Nobody knew who he was 6 weeks ago, including probably most of his own organization, though Vlad Guerrero Jr. has fallen in love with him. So we'll get to that, too, in a moment. What a World Series, Game 5. Toronto's up 3-2. Brink of the beauty and the magic of not just a World Series championship, but taking down the Dodgers. We do have some other things to talk about. I thought LSU football was a problem under Lion Kelly and his fake Southern accent, but the fallout from the firing is hilarious in its ugliness. The governor's involved. The governor has called in the panic cavalry. So we'll let you listen to that. We will talk about, and it's funny, and if you're an LSU fan, I understand that the humor is directed at your expense, so you're probably not laughing along with us. It is entertaining. There's also a lesson about the radical changes and the incredible stakes now playing out in college football and trying to get the coaches that you think are going to get your program to the next level. Aaron Murray will certainly help us discuss that in an hour, among other topics in college football. Would you rather is every single Thursday, end of this hour, right around 10:40 Eastern time, 7:40 where I'm sitting on the West Coast. Ryan Hickey told me not to say it's the best he's ever done, even though he thinks it's the best he's ever done. So we will do that segment, and together, you, me, all of us, will assess and judge Ryan to see whether he has lived up to his braggadocio words. Buy or sell coming up, phone number 888-710-4ISN. You should follow Ryan on X, Ryan_Hickey, the number 3. I wouldn't follow me, but do it. What the hell? Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Andrew Bogus will be on updates here in a little bit. What an incredible win by the Blue Jays. And we discussed this yesterday, that if Toronto was going to be able to take the lead in the series ain't over. If they were going to be able to win another game at Dodger Stadium, it would be in the most impractical of ways in that game, signaling the most impractical of potential victories in this series. The Blue Jays spend money. They're not the Pirates. They're a top 12, 13, 14 spending team, but they are dwarfed by the team they are playing, who spend the most money of any team by a wide margin in Major League Baseball. You're the Los Angeles Dodgers. And so for the Blue Jays to just be on the brink of a World Series win is a big deal. It lends, I think, false credibility, but credibility nonetheless, to those out there who are saying, clamoring to scream, baseball's fine, don't do a lockout, we don't need a cap, we don't need a floor, we don't need changes. Look, the Dodgers didn't win the whole thing. I would just gently push back. Yeah, but they're in the World Series again. And at a minimum, they're going to play in a Game 6. And to get to this point, to get to this brink of greatness for Toronto, they had to get it not just in the most unlikely of ways in terms of beating L.A., but from the most unlikely of heroes. Trey Savage, and we discussed him the other day, is a rookie whose first Major League Baseball appearance when he got called up was 6 weeks ago on September 15th. Including the playoffs, including last night's gem of an outing in which he stepped into the most ferociously stress-filled reality in baseball, a game 5 tied 2-2 in the World Series against whatever the struggles of the offense, and it's been a struggle for the Dodgers, one of the most formidable-looking lineups in the sport that we've seen in a long time. He averages 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 run scored, 12 strikeouts. Guy was cooking. It makes us forget this guy shouldn't even be here. 8 games, including that gem last night, he has pitched in his Major League Baseball career. 3 he got in the regular season before he was thrown into the mix in the playoffs. And he's an interesting young guy because none of us knew who he was. He started the season in rookie ball or A ball, and he's got a split finger and a slider that when it's on, when it's clicking, it wasn't in game 1 of this series, he is not unhittable, but he's just another level of a hitter. But the thing is, the rhythm you need for those pitches to be working is harder to get when you're playing against a lineup like this and there's this much pressure. He had 23 swings and misses. He was legendary in his excellence. And you could hear last night him just talking about after the game, after the win, after shutting down the Dodgers 6-1, just how baffled he is he's even here.
It's a crazy world, crazy world. Hollywood couldn't have made it this good. So just being a part of this, I'm just very blessed.
By the way, did you hear what I heard? Hollywood couldn't have come up with this. A little shot at Hollywood, a little shot at L.A. Hollywood couldn't come up with it. Hollywood couldn't stop me. He's savage. I love this guy. What a story. He's not the only dude that's been out. I mean, Vlad Guerrero's been amazing. Now, I'm kind of making fun of Vlad Guerrero here, but I also like it. Vlad Guerrero has been on the team for a while. He's a superstar. I don't know how you fall in love with another dude, like in a bro love, right? I become best friends in 6 weeks. Maybe it happens, right? Maybe it happens. But Vlad Guerrero was singing the praise and literally spreading the love, saying he's got the love for the young pitcher who came out and utterly outclassed Blake Snell.
I just told him I'm so proud of him, man. He's a young human being, man. I love him, man. You know, every feast day he comes to give it all they have and the mound, and he showed it today. He built for this.
That's thanks to our good friends at MLB Network. I'm just kidding. He can love him. He can say he loves him. I mean, if Savage had given up 6 earned runs in the first 4 innings, but he's probably whatever. Good job. Way to go. And this is the thing about the Dodgers and about the World Series. And I keep saying this because it's true. Andrew Friedman with money and with his approach, which is very impressive, and it's a sabermetrician's approach. It's the numbers approach. You can guarantee 95-plus wins. You just can. You can do that. And they put together a good enough team. They're obviously in the World Series. But timely hitting often is the thing that dictates who actually wins these series. You're late in the year. There's so much pressure. You have to get it done. But on the flip side of that, on the flip side of timely hitting, right, these things are obviously connected, is the ability for pitching to be timely. We have seen legends make their names, and guys that aren't legendary. And maybe Treya Savage is going to go on to have an okay career, or a mediocre career, or a good career. This is a legendary performance. And he's doing the thing that really should and does often dictate who wins these things. Savage is stepping up into these big moments, and he's being the most important person in a field of 18 or 20 guys that could qualify. Last night's game was the Treya Savage game. It was the game where a rookie stepped into one of the most iconic ballparks in the world, where nobody outside of probably him and the Blue Jays thought they were going to win that game or that series. I didn't think they were going to win. Blake Snell is a pretty talented pitcher. Whatever the struggles of the Dodgers lineup, and they've been real, this is a lineup that has a multitude of former MVPs, has a guy in Freddie Freeman who just makes a habit in the World Series of hitting walk-off home runs, and has somebody in Shohei Ohtani who in the last week and a half has had 3 home runs in a game. By the way, I'm not even talking about the pitching performance that went with it, and reached base in this World Series 9 times. A postseason record, and the first time that's occurred, as you probably know, in 70-some years. And Treya Savage is the guy that went out there and got it done. And John Schneider, who's the very happy manager, skipper of the Blue Jays, was in a good enough mood to drop some sarcasm when he was asked, how did your young guy do?
He was pretty good. historic stuff, you know what I mean? When you talk about that stage and his numbers, getting ahead of a lot of hitters, tons of swing and miss, you know, it's one thing to be in the zone, and it's another thing to be in the zone and get some swing and miss.
Yeah, and by the way, get some swing and miss against the guys that Shohei Ohtani and Max Muncy and Freddie Freeman and every other person that's in that. I mean, Will Smith, the catcher, is an absolute machine normally. I mean, just go down Hernandez. I mean, just go down the lineup. This is a murderer's row. It doesn't change the fact that the Dodgers have unfair is the wrong term. They have an advantage they've utilized from their market and their willingness to spend money and the fact that they hired the best front office person in baseball. It's not going to change the fact that the Dodgers are going to be in a lot of these going forward because of their resources. But one of the things about baseball that's really cool, one of the things that does make it magical this time of year, is that, for lack of a better term that doesn't have a cliche in it, a David actually can beat a Goliath. The Dodgers are Goliath. They are the 800-pound, one-eyed, I guess, gorilla in this circumstance. And Treya Savage is a guy that's pitched 7 times in his career before he took the bump last night and was amazing. absolutely incredible. And the stuff that he had, right? The actual stuff that he had was so good. Now, on the other side of this, and we've talked about this, the Dodgers pitching has been, or hitting, excuse me, has been problematic. This is the thing we've seen over the years. And I thought that maybe Shohei Ohtani, he's done that in this series. And by the way, series ain't over. There's still time for heroics. Shohei Ohtani is capable of putting a team on his back and handling the pressure. Didn't last night. He's capable of it. If the Dodgers win one more baseball game, it's a who the bleep knows game seven, which I actually hope happens because the drama will be amazing. But the fact is that the Dodgers hitters have not been good. And this is one of the things that has happened to this Dodgers team over the last decade. Going back before Mookie Betts was there, before Freddie Freeman was there, that they play the numbers game, right? If you've watched or you understand Billy Beane's approach, they buy runs, right? They produce runs in the aggregate, and it works over a huge 162-game sample size. Doesn't work quite as well as you make playoff runs, and that's where starting pitching is supposed to come in. It just didn't work last night. Toronto's hitters were able to get to Snell. It's a huge part of the other side of this thing. It's also true that you need individual stars, to be heroes. Guys have to rise up, and you bring in a Freddie Freeman, you bring in a Shohei Ohtani, you bring in a Mookie Betts, all MVP guys, so that one of them can be heroic. And we've seen Freddie Freeman's had his moment. He has a walk-off homer in this series. Shohei Ohtani's had his moment. He had that in that same game. He reached base 9 times. Where's Mookie Betts? I don't want to pick on Betts. Great player. But this is a lineup full of talent. And Mookie Betts' assessment, very candid assessment, of his own hitting could also be an assessment of his team's offense.
I've just been terrible. I've been terrible, and there's no... I wish it was from lack of effort. I really do, but it's not. So I don't have any answers.
Not going to get too carried away. There's only one truth that comes out of last night's game, and that is Treya Savage is a monster under pressure. And whatever happens going forward, he had a hero's performance. The thing about sports, the unfairness of life, is it doesn't matter if the Dodgers win this series. If the Dodgers go back to Toronto and they win Game 6, and then it's all bet. By the way, I'm a Cubs fan. I can remember the Cubs being down 3-2 against the Dodgers in the NLCS in 2016. There's other examples. There's lots of examples. It happens. Lots of examples. If the Dodgers win this, Treya Savage's performance is just as good, and it doesn't get remembered. It just doesn't. It's a footnote. Same thing for Shohei Ohtani, by the way, reaching base 9 times. And Freddie Freeman have another walk-off. There's a long ways to go. And the pressure and the small moments and the guys that step up and are heroes now, that will decide which of these teams are World Series champions. That will decide which of these iconic moments are actually iconic. And which ones are really cool things that happened to a team that lost that we kind of forget about as dust piles up over the years. Because we have a game or two left to decide the World Series champion. We have a game or two left to decide who, over the course of a slog of a marathon of the regular season and a pretty long postseason, emerges. And that means it's going to come down to an individual pitcher here or there. Could be the starters, could be the bullpen. It's going to come down to a Vlad Guerrero Jr. or a Shohei Ohtani or maybe some lesser name. Last night, that lesser name was Treya Savage. Got it done. Absolutely dominant. Amazing. Great stuff. And if Toronto wins this thing, if they win one more baseball game, maybe Savage isn't a lesser name. Maybe it's the beginning of a career that reflects the level of greatness we saw last night, which is about as good as you can be in Major League Baseball, given the circumstances and how that guy pitched. What a stud. All right, 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. We're going to go from the beauty and the magic of the October Classic to what the hell is happening with LSU's football team. The governor has weighed in. He is mad as hell, and you would not want to be the LSU athletic director after what you're about to hear next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
There is no void of silence, but it is as well as it deserves to be so that we're going to get insight from Mike Florio
on the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into the show. Is this Led Zeppelin?
Yes, it is. Look at you.
You took my Zeppelin, because I think I made a Zeppelin comment, and you looked perplexed, right?
Not perplexed, but like, no, you said you like Led Zeppelin. We have a few Led Zeppelin songs, Good Times, Bad Times, is this one right here. Figured I want to play the hits, make you happy. It's your show.
That's, Life, good times, bad times. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Bill.
How you doing? You good?
I am good. I am doing well. How about yourself?
Who are you rooting for in the World Series right now?
To be honest, the Blue Jays.
Are you really?
I don't hate the Dodgers, and right. I respect what they do, and I do like want them to get rewarded, if you will. But like, especially like the more you watch, I don't know how you can't root for the Blue Jays.
I'm rooting for the Dodgers. I know it's obnoxious. I'm a borderline Dodgers fan. I know it's obnoxious because I live here and I watch the games and I like the people. If you live in a community and you like the fans, I think you just like the team naturally. If you live in a community and you hate the fans, and I mean as fans, not like you live in New York, Yankees fans are the worst. Even though they're nice people, they're the worst when they're talking baseball. You probably, don't you think a lot of the Yankees hate emanates from the fact that it's not people hating Derek Jeter or whoever it is back in the, or today, it's they hate the people rooting for Derek Jeter or these guys today.
1,000,000,000%, right. Yes. Could not
They're
agree
so
more.
Obnoxious.
So obnoxious. It's the, growing up young too, when they were winning 3 and 4, 3 and 5 years, insufferable.
And that's just part of the culture, right? In order to be a Yankees fan, you have to be really obnoxious about it.
You said they're nice people, by the way. Most of them, no. Especially
I keep going back to, no one knows who this is, but James Ward used to work here, used to produce here. He works at a TV, and he is one of the nicest people I've ever met. He never ruffles feathers, but he's such an irrational, awful person when he talks about the Yankees. He transforms into a monster. It's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Yankees fan. It's not like that in LA. Dodgers fans are really cool, man.
Really?
Same for Cubs fans. Well, Cubs fans are just drunk all the time. Hey! They're like, you know, they could be at the game pointed the wrong way. Hey, man, the game's actually, oh, sorry. But they're fun. Dodgers fans are great. What are Mets fans like? Just sad? Just kind of worn out? Tired?
You know, just maybe ornery. You know, we're looking to win and, you know, getting beaten down every year. Yeah, it's not fun.
Ornery is a good word. Like speaking that? Of ornery, they're pretty ornery down in Louisiana. So, as all of you know, Brian Kelly has been fired. The program has been a shambles. They lured him for a ton of money, 10-year, $100 million deal several years ago from Notre Dame. The way that he left, I thought, was classless. So did other people. There's certainly a lot of things in his background that made him wildly unlikable. I don't know if you've seen this, Ryan. When people have bad moments, some people will come out and kick them while they're down because they don't like them. And there are a number of former coaches, Robert Saleh was one of them, who have come out and told Brian Kelly stories about how basically Brian Kelly made them park cars and shovel the walk, and how we decided that we would never treat people that way when we were successful. There's a lot out there, maybe it's a conspiracy, I don't think it is, to suggest Brian Kelly not a very likable guy. But he could win. He was a winner. He was supposed to be a winning football coach. So much so that to lure him from Notre Dame, he got a massive, massive buyout. That buyout now is just assumed by Louisiana State University. LSU is a publicly funded school. Yeah, boosters can come in and help, but if boosters fund a buyout, that means they're not funding something else. They're not funding the next coach. They're not funding now NIL. They're not funding the library. Right? You want to build a research center, or do you want to help Brian Kelly build his yacht because we owe him money? These are the decisions that the rich folks who support that program have to make, and the governor's mad as hell. The governor of Louisiana, now, this is good politics, right? You get somebody, you get to find a common enemy and Lion Kelly and Governor, what's your name? Jeff Landry. You can use that. You can use Lion Kelly if you want to. And he had a press conference. Sorry, let me give it. Scott Woodward is the poor, not really poor, but the failed athletic director who gave Lion Kelly the money. He also was at A&M when they brought in Jimbo Fisher and they gave him 1,000 golden parachutes. And the governor, which is crazy, of Louisiana basically went out there and gave a press conference to say this bleep stops now.
No. I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting the next coach. Hell, I'll let Donald Trump select it before I let him do it. I don't know, but the Board of Supervisors is going to come up with a committee and they're going to go find us a coach.
Just to be clear, the athletic director is supposed to hire a coach. The governor of Louisiana. I'm not messing with the governor either. Remember, the state funds the universities. You don't want to go to war with the people that basically pay your checks. You don't want to do that. It's still very, very crazy that crazy is the wrong word. It's an aggressive move and a sign of utter dysfunction that the governor of Louisiana is calling out the athletic director. And lest there be a misunderstanding, perhaps the governor and his need to help the people of his state and all the responsibilities and stress that comes with that didn't quite understand that Scott Woodward was supposed to choose the job. There was a follow-up question. Wait. Are you saying that the athletic director isn't going to – Scott Woodward doesn't get to hire the next coach?
We are not going down a failed path. And I wanted to tell you something. This is a pattern. The guy that's here now that wrote that contract cost Texas A&M $70-something million. Right now, we got a $53 million liability. We are not doing that again.
I mean, he's spitting facts. In fairness to everybody, he's spitting facts. So, I like memes. I just do. And with my friends, I like to send them. It's the best way to be obnoxious, because when your buddy's team loses or you beat him in, you know, whatever, basketball, bowling, tennis, in my case, it's better to send an obnoxious meme, because it's under, I'm just kidding, you know, I was just kidding. It's the I'm just kidding thing. As I've said on the air, I hung out with my high school buddies for the first time in forever in New York City this past weekend, and now I'm just memeing the hell out of them. There's a meme out there that I love. It's top three of all time. I know you know what it is, but I'm going to describe it to you. It's a dog that is sitting in a burning house drinking coffee, and it's fine. This is fine. Everything is fine. You have to reserve it for the right situations. That is this. Because if you are Lane Kiffin, and strike that from the record, if you're a much lesser desired coach, hell, if you're Eli Drinkwitz in the University of Missouri, if you're James Franklin and you're unemployed, is this really the mess you want to step into? An athletic director who's going to hire you, who's not really going to be the athletic director, at least for this role. And by the way, that guy's tenure is probably short. But beyond that, and I'm not justifying the buyouts, I'm just saying the politics now of the governor being involved of these buyouts is going to be so problematic. It's going to be really hard to negotiate a buyout from that university that is, and I don't like them, but that's at the reality of how the market operates with these sorts of clauses. Do you know who's not going to flinch probably at a buyout? Penn State or one of the Florida schools or Texas if Sark leaves. This is an opportunity for those other programs to basically get the best of LSU, because it's maybe Lane Kiffin, but it's hard for me to believe they're going to turn around and give Lane Kiffin a $90 million buyout. But that's what will be required to lure that guy. It's toxic. It's problematic. It's political. I don't know anything about Jeff Landry. I am not in any way taking shots at Jeff Landry. But you and I all know, and we probably, I mean, look, everyone listening here, and myself included, are not all going to align on politics. We're just not. It's not the space for that. This is not. But I think we would align that we don't like most politicians, and that they often operate in a way that's probably about those politicians' best interests and not, maybe not ours, or maybe not everybody else's. I don't want to go take a job as a football coach where the governor of any state is suddenly involved in my world, what I do, what plays I, what's next? Jeff Landry going to call a press conference on Lane Kiffin's third game? I didn't like that he ran the ball. They had to throw him. We're going to get, I mean, I'm serious. I understand why it's good politics for him. It's a hot mess down there. But it's so ugly and so dysfunctional. All LSU has done, all the governor has done, is announce, don't come here. And I understand why he's doing it. It is not a small thing to give away $50-plus million for a guy to go away. And it certainly, and I brought it up, is astounding. It really is astounding that Scott Woodward, the athletic director, was able to do this after giving Jimbo Fisher even more money to go away. But Ryan Hickey, if you don't really like James Franklin, right? But why would James Franklin take this job? Why would anyone take this job?
It's a great point. And it's like, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes in college sports that we don't know or talk about that does dictate whether a coach can succeed or not. And this is just putting it all right out in front. And now they're, like you said, there's no ambiguity. There's no, oh, well, you know, I'll be able to fix it or make it better. The state governor now is calling out the aid. Like, you're going to get hired by a guy who's not going to be probably in the job in 2 years. It's right. A mess.
And I mean, that's the other thing. I think maybe the governor's really, really savvy. And maybe, and this, I don't know. Maybe he's made the assessment, not that he needs to hire the coach, not that the special committee needs to hire the coach. Maybe he's just made the assessment, probably a good one, that Scott Woodward can hire the coach. And this is his move to get him fired. Because to your point, you can't bring a coach in who doesn't know, not at LSU, who doesn't know who their AD is going to be. No coach in their right mind is going to a program, doesn't matter how much you pay them, if they don't know who the athletic director is. Hell, if the athletic director doesn't doesn't hire them and have what appears to be long-term support. That's a great point, Ryan. You cannot take that job as long as Scott Woodward is there. As much as Lion Kelly's been fired, Scott Woodward has been given what feels like a pink slip. I take it back, Jeff Landry. I'm sorry that I went after politicians. Some of you are real smart. You were playing chess, and I thought you were playing checkers. Scott Woodward be gone. All right, well, should be. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. 888-710-4ISN. Sports writer on the old X, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R, Ryan underscore Hickey. And the number three, you were pretty bold earlier, Ryan. You said it was an amazing would you rather. You said, don't say it's the best ever, but then you made this sort of obnoxious Tom Cruise smile now. But it is.
I'm very excited because we're going to test right away.
Okay.
Your true fandom.
All right. My feet will be put to the fire the same way that Jeff Landry put Scott Woodward to the fire on Would You Rather, coming up after a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Bill, your Sports Flash is sponsored by Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME and get $50 in bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. 12 strikeouts, no walks over 7 is a great start in May. Jays rookie righty Treya Savage did it in Game 5 of the World Series at Dodger Stadium last night. He got Freddie Freeman twice.
He had everything working tonight. But again, still got to put some runs on the board and do a better job. And we just haven't done that for about 2.5 games.
The Dodgers managed 1 run on 4 hits off you, Savage, and 2 relievers, losing 6-1, and now faces elimination in Toronto tomorrow night. Savage's 12 punchouts, a World Series rookie record. Brooklyn Dodger Don Newcomb, K-11 Yankees back in 1949. Nikola Jokic, 21 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists in the Nuggets 122-88 rout of the Jazz. Jokic joining Oscar Robertson and Russell Westbrook as the only players to start a season with 4 straight triple-doubles. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
It's not really called a Truman Letter. I just call it a Truman Letter. Harry, is it S. Truman? As in super good at history? Harry S. Don't know if it's an S. Truman. It'd be funny if it's Harry Dietrich. I don't know. Harry Truman. Why am I going with the middle name? I don't even know it. Just skip it, Writer.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. And Ryan Hickey, double Led Zeppelin?
Wow. You want it, Bill? You got it. More lead in your life.
I love Led Zeppelin, but it's a lot of Led Zeppelin.
Oh, we overdid it?
No, I'm just saying. No. I mean, if you really want to Stairway to Heaven, that's the banger.
8:20 a.m. Pacific time. Don't be surprised if we go 3 for 3.
Oh, boy. Here we go. There's never too much Led Zeppelin if Stairway to Heaven's part of the mix. There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, Ryan, and she's building a stairway to Would You Rather.
It's time for Would You Rather on Writer Than You.
A lot of pressure here. You really talked this one up, pal.
I know. We'll see if we can deliver. So let's start with a heavy hitter right away, Bill. Would you rather give your right leg for the Bears to win 3 Super Bowls in a row and then never win another one in your lifetime? Or you keep your limbs.
I'm close.
But the Bears never won a Super Bowl.
Keep my right leg. That's a terrible question.
What do you mean a terrible question?
And that's one of the worst questions I've ever been asked on this show.
People always
give
say,
up my right leg?
I give up this.
Give
for
up
a
my
championship.
Actual. No, I play tennis. I like to run. I like to hang out with my kids. Someday I'd like to hang out with grandkids. Was Grandpa a pirate? No, he gave up his leg for the Bears 20 years ago to win 3 Super Bowls.
I mean, you could still do that with a
would you give up your
right leg?
Would you give up your right leg for Penn State to win 7 championships in a row?
No, I would not.
No, you wouldn't. Would you give it up for 20 in a row?
No, because that's something.
No, so it's a terribly dumb question. It's a dumb question.
No, but some people would.
20. You wouldn't do it for 20.
Would you give up your pinky?
No. Wow, my pinky. No, I think about it, though.
Okay.
No.
So now we're getting somewhere. What about your left foot?
No, I'm not giving up body parts. What do you.
Nothing. What if I cut off your right ear?
It would hurt. I'm not. was it Van Gogh, Picasso? I'm not an art history major or a person from art history that would do that. Okay. Who cut off their ear? Do you know? Do you know who cut off their ear?
I'm going to say Van Gogh. That's my favorite.
Yeah, it was Van Gogh. Do you know Van Gogh's first name, Fancy Pants?
Vincent.
Wow.
Yeah. What did he paint? Could not tell you.
He painted paintings.
Is it the Mona Lisa?
He did not paint them.
Okay.
Thank you for reverting the universe back to where I... Oh, that's very funny. No, that was Leonardo da Vinci. One of the smartest men to ever live. But that's very, very funny.
Okay, well... Oh, Van Gogh is the... I'm going to try one more here. The scream? You know, the...
I think that... I don't know. Let's look.
Do you know any
paintings? No, he's not. That was Edvard Munch, Norwegian painter, which I knew without having to Google it. I just knew off the top of my head that he created multiple versions of the iconic work between 1893 and 1910, using, as I'm sure you know, different media like oil paint, tempera, and pastel.
That Mizzou brain, man, they really set you up for success.
Yeah, they did.
Would you rather have Daniel Jones or Caleb Williams as your quarterback for the rest of this season only?
At least I have my right leg.
That's true. So if either stink, you still have all your body parts attached.
Okay, so I'm going to say Caleb Williams. But part of the reason is it's an evaluation process. And you tell me if you agree. I think the Ravens game, I think we've hit the point now where I don't think we're there. But I think it's under consideration. It's a legitimate possibility that Ben Johnson's going to conclude Caleb Williams can't be the guy.
Yes. There's still time, right? There's still got, 10 still games time. Left?
Yep.
So
How he... Jordan Love had some struggles, right? I mean, you can go through a lot. He's not Josh Allen. But Josh Allen had some... Peyton Manning first year. I know we're not in the first year. Players can turn things around. You're now going to have an evaluation of Caleb Williams without the excuse of who his coach is, how he responds to difficulties with a team that has clearly showcased they're good enough to be a 9 or 10 win. They're good enough to be a 9 or 10 win team if their quarterback doesn't pull them down. And so all of this now, I think, is a very legitimate and up-in-the-air evaluation process for Caleb Williams. There is a ceiling there that I think surpasses Chase Daniel. That was an old-school slip up. It's my guy. M-I-Z.
Yeah, Z-O-U. Taking a shot at your
Daniel
own
Jones.
Kind.
There's a higher ceiling here. Not just this year, but in the years ahead.
Since Halloween is tomorrow, Bill, would you rather have chocolate? Okay. Well, you know, regular candy. That's not chocolate.
Wait, what? Oh, chocolate or regular? Right, I mean, I...
Right, is there a term? What? I was thinking about it. There's no term, right, for it? Like Twizzlers?
Yeah, no. Non-chocolate candy?
Yeah.
So, it depends on the kind, but I like all of it, which is why I had to lose 22 pounds. I love Airheads.
Oh, great. Call.
I mean, I'll just crush Airheads. Can't have them in the house. I'll take non-chocolate.
Great, great call.
I have a would you rather for you.
Okay.
Okay. Let me think of the alternative. Okay. Because would you rather have your daughter, your 16-year-old daughter, date a boy who's 18 and has the voice like this and is 6'4"? Announced to you, not ask, announced to you that she would be attending a Beverly Hills Halloween party at an influencer's house.
Wow.
I don't live in Beverly Hills, by the way. Anywhere near Beverly Hills.
Is the 18-year-old boyfriend, is he like an athlete? Like, are we, you know.
Not to get too into the weeds, but he likes guns.
I will take my chances. I'd rather have my daughter declare that she is going to a Beverly Hills Halloween party. At least that's just one night versus however long this relationship lasts.
Well, the good news is the relationship's over. Didn't last very long.
Okay.
Thank God. Pulled the parent mover. You just grin and bear it. He was a nice kid, I suppose. He was just, he's a guy. When I met him, he's like, hello, Mr. Ryder. It's nice to meet you. And a small part of me died.
Did he break your hand in the handshake? Was it firm?
Now, he was so nervous, too. As you can imagine, I wasn't necessarily... I was charming, un-nice, if that makes sense. right? Okay, you don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway.
You kind of put him in his place a little bit, but like with a smile on?
Just, yeah, that's right. He wasn't a bad kid. The Beverly Hills thing is a recent development. Mm. Would you like to guess my response?
I could guess what it wasn't. Okay, give sweetie.
All caps, absolutely not. Fatherhood, it's the best.
Oh, man. Should we go back to some of the kid questions from last week?
Real quick, would you rather you be criticized for not letting kids go to baseball games or be criticized for being a secret Canadian and hating America's team in the World Series? Because both have occurred now.
Both are untrue. Big time untrue. I guess I'd rather be accused. Oh, wow. Wow, that's actually really tough because I love my country.
Right.
I don't want to be accused of being anti-American, but I love
pro-Canadian.
Kids.
Do you? Are the only kids that get to go to baseball games Canadian ones?
I would rather be criticized for not allowing kids to go to baseball games.
Okay.
That's what I'll go with.
Well, that one you did on purpose. That one was actually your take.
It was just a mere question that I was not stating this is good or bad. But I guess we agree to disagree. Would you rather have Snickers or Reese's?
Both. They're so good. That's a great call. Depends on my mood, right? Do I have some milk with me? Like milk? I might have Reese's. I got to pick one.
Got to pick one. We'll say milk is allowed.
It depends the moment you catch me in. The moment I'm in right now is Snickers.
Are those your top two?
Of the chocolate candies, they are.
Okay.
Airheads, Twizzlers. I mean, there's a lot of non-chocolate stuff. How about you? Snickers or Reese's?
I'm a Reese's guy. That's probably one for chocolate.
You've got more. I'm sorry. Let me allow you to.
No, it's okay. Now, this may be outdated, so we can also, please, if you want to correct, please correct. But would you rather?
I love Laffy Taffy. I didn't even know you knew what it was.
Oh, I love Laffy Taffy.
Yeah.
Laffy Taffy or Twizzlers?
I think Laffy Taffy.
Laffy Taffy or Airhead?
Airheads.
Okay.
Airheads or Snickers? Airheads.
What flavor Airhead?
Airheads, I mean, I'm going to go in order, green, grape, orange, cherry.
Wow. Okay.
What's your order?
Not that. Blue, number one. White mystery, number two. Red, number three.
Okay.
I'd probably go green four.
We're opposite. We're on the opposite end. Would you rather have Airheads or your right leg? Right leg, but it's a tough call.
And you love Airheads so much. Would you give up your right leg for Airheads?
I mean, that's what I just asked myself.
Man, you can't. I mean, Airheads.
I literally just asked and answered, Your Honor.
What was your? Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry. You know what? I'll be honest. I was trying to get the music ready because I saw I was going to run out. So I was trying to multitask, and I just completely ignored your question.
It's okay.
My apologies. What was your answer?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, I want to know if you're going to give me right leg.
I'm not, but I thought it was a close call.
We talked about a lot of good things to get on Halloween. Unfortunately, not every neighbor wants to get out the good stuff.
It's true.
So would you rather, if you're a trick-or-treater, get an apple or a toothbrush?
As a kid, give me an apple, but as an adult, give me a toothbrush. Those cost money, and I can just put it in the cupboard and not buy a toothbrush later. Although, in fairness, I do use the electric toothbrush now.
Mm-hmm.
Game changer.
Right? Oh, it is good.
Yeah, so maybe not. I guess for travel, though.
But like, you know, even if you're a kid and someone gave you an apple, you're going to eat it. It's like, you're not going to eat it.
It's kind of gross. I'm going to wash it off. And like, whenever someone gives me an apple, I think of the witch from, which one was that? Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, not nice.
Eat it, my precious. Which is more Gollum from, with the ring and the Mordor.
Yeah. Right. Exactly right. Since it is.
Thank you. Spooky. Thank you for that. Thanks for the support. You still listening?
Since it is, yeah. I wish I was in the last 20 seconds.
Shots fired. Shots fired from the guy that takes the blue Airheads.
I feel strong about that. I feel very strong about that.
I mean, it's crazy. That's a crazy taste take.
I disagree. We all have crazy thoughts. You take an orange and green.
Oh, orange. Green
apple.
We should trick-or-treat together. We could just trade straight up. Perfect.
I love that. But yeah, we would make a good tag team, that's for sure. You
next time
I'm
there, we'll each buy a bag of Airheads and we'll trade it, right? We'll just, because I just had a bag of Airheads a few weeks ago, and I got to the end of the bag, and I was like, all the blue and the white. I'm like, I guess I got to eat these now.
Did you get the full size or the small size?
I got the full size.
Nice. My guy.
Yeah, I did it.
Since it is spooky season, Bill, would you rather be scared, let's say watch a horror film,
right,
or be sad and watch a heartbreaking, tragic movie?
I'm scared that you're going to make me sad by your on-air
Well, you keep talking about how detailed actually this question. Would you rather die in a fire or die drowning?
That's
fair. So, you know, we won't go that extreme, but...
I'll go scary movie. I'll go horror film, right? Okay. Yeah, that works for me.
All right. And we'll finish here. This could be a scary question for you. Your football team. Would you rather have coaching next year, James Franklin or Brian Kelly?
James Franklin. Eli Drinkowitz goes away. You take James Franklin over Brian Kelly, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. You're going to win 10 games, by the way. Then you're going to lose by 40 touchdowns. Mizzou would win game. Well, in the SEC, they might not.
I've never been to Mizzou, obviously, Missouri.
Big mistake, but...
Is there something they're known for? Accent? Certain, you know, kind of food they like? Is there, like, what's unique to Missouri that Brian Kelly, if he was hired in this fictional fantasy,
this could is now... Hard to pull.
Assimilate
and they've studied this. I don't know why. People that go there after 4 years come out really good looking and smart.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. As a rule.
So with Brian Kelly,
Reed Forgrave didn't. So that was a bit of a shocker.
There's always an anomaly.
What could he fake? No, because Missouri is basically southern in parts and northern in parts. It's such a border state, right? If you go up north, it's basically border with Iowa. You go down south, border of Arkansas, southern accents. What is it known for?
So could he wear, like, overalls on the bottom and, like, you know, something, like, up top to represent, like, the northern part of the state?
You know what it is? It's the show me state. It's a state of authenticity. He wouldn't fit. I am from Missouri, sir. You will have to show me. Show me state. You gotta show me. Gotta prove it.
Gotta prove it. He would take you up on that. I don't know what he would do, but I'd be intrigued to see. Very intrigued to see.
I was going to ask you, would you rather about your colleagues, but I won't because it's too hard to choose. I was going to ask you a really positive one. It wasn't going to be negative at all. I wasn't going to bring up two people that were negative. I was going to bring up positive people.
Bill Ryder, always positive.
Do you know what's positive? Aaron Murray. That guy's the best. That guy knows college football. You know what? I'm going to ask Aaron Murray whether he would rather have James Franklin or Brian Kelly coach his team. We'll get into the mess at LSU. And we'll talk about the landscape and the college football playoff. Our friend Aaron Murray coming up next here on Rider Than You.
You're listening to the Rider Than You podcast.
Good morning. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Very excited now to be joined by Aaron Murray, SiriusXM and ESPN college football analyst, co-host of the Mack and Murray College Football Show with former Clemson offensive lineman Eric McLean, Georgia Bulldog quarterback for many years, career passing yards and career passing touchdowns leader. Very impressive dude. Lucky to have him. Great every time he's on. Aaron Murray, 11 on X. Aaron, good morning, man. What's going on?
Hey, man. Just excited for another college football season. About to make a quick pick stop in Jacksonville to do a little speaking engagement tonight. Then off to North Texas for a little Navy North Texas game this weekend, so expect another good weekend.
I love it. Well, you're a busy man. Appreciate you making time. Let's bop around the country, and I never thought that I would ask you or a person in your position about something the governor of a state said, but the governor of Louisiana, as you probably know, has decreed in a press conference that Scott Woodward, the athletic director at LSU, will not be making the decision on who the next head coach is. What is your reaction? What does it say about things at LSU that the governor's now weighing in on who gets to decide the next head coach?
Well, it is. I used to work with a guy named T. Bob Hebert. I don't know if you've had him on the show before, but from Louisiana, his dad, Bobby Hebert, played for the Falcons and the Saints. So every time I would talk to T. Bob about anything going on in Louisiana, you know, he just talked about how unique the situation is politically and the word corrupt at times came out as well, too. So it's a unique state, as we know, a lot of big personalities. And the fact that Woodward is not making this decision, I don't think it's a great decision. I think you need people that obviously know football. And you can tell you, I'm like, oh, well, look at the past mistakes he's made. No one could have thought that Brian Kelly was going to be a mistake. What Brian Kelly did at Notre Dame was tremendous. I thought he was one of the best coaches in America when that hire was made. And you have to understand that, like, this is just the landscape of college football contracts. You know, I talked to, you actually had on my show yesterday, Jimbo Fisher, and we talked about a lot of this, about the money and, you know, how these guaranteed contracts are put together. So I'm not going to blame him for getting the best coach on the market at the time. Unfortunately, it did not work out. I don't think anyone could have figured that would have happened. But I think the whole system needs to get fixed. So to sit back and say it's his fault when every athletic director and every university are paying outrageous buyouts to these coaches, I mean, we're going to be north of $200 million maybe by January of payout money to these coaches. So it's not an LSU problem. It's a college football problem with these contracts. So I think it is a mistake not to have your athletic director not involved unless you're going to get rid of him and bring someone else in. But if he's the athletic director, he needs to have a say in helping pick out the next coach.
Aaron Murray, if your phone rang and Lane Kiffin were on the other end, and he said, Aaron, I need some advice. Should I stay at Ole Miss? Should I look at LSU? For whatever reason, in this made-up analogy, he's like, I don't know. I got a hankering for the Big Ten. Is Penn State worth looking at? Any other program? What advice would you give Lane?
You know, I love what Lane's built at Ole Miss. I've had the chance to get there over the past couple of years and cover their games, sit down and talk with them. And, you know, he's given what he needs from a resource standpoint. I mean, look at last year. They needed to get better on defense. They went out there and were able to get a bunch of guys to the transfer portal. But, you know, he's done an incredible job year in and year out of really building a culture, you know, with a pretty good split of transfer guys and high school guys. I would say the one thing that if you did take the job at, say, an LSU or Florida, I think you could build a little bit more through the high school rankings. Yeah, I think Mississippi does not have the same kind of talent as Florida. It's not the same kind of talent as Louisiana. So you can't just own your state and think that you're going to build a roster through the high school ranks. And we've seen, you know, Lane's done, you know, as good of a job, if not the best job, when it comes to building a roster through the portal. But it's still, you don't always know if it's going to work out. You know, I still think if you ask most coaches, hey, how would you like to build your roster? Hey, we would like to build the core through high school recruiting and then kind of fill in as we need with the transfer portal. So I think if he did say that, hey, that's what I truly want, that's not kind of how we're going to be able to get it done at Ole Miss and be competitive. You know, kind of rolling the dice a little bit year in and year out through the portal. But if I do go to LSU or Florida, I can kind of build it that other way that I just discussed. So to me, I love the LSU job. I think it's a great, great place when it comes to recruiting. I think the culture's great. I think the facilities and everything you want financially is right there for you to go out there and have success. So I'd lean LSU 1, kind of 4-2. And then, heck, I think Auburn's going to come out. I don't think you would leave necessarily go to Auburn. But I may even kind of lean towards Auburn ahead of Penn State. And maybe it's because I'm just an SEC guy. But, you know, Penn State just really never moved the needle for me. You know, they kind of feel like they're kind of that next tier in the Big Ten and, you know, haven't really won championships in forever. I know they've been competitive as late, but, you know, at least Auburn can say, hey, we've won championships. We've been the championships over the past two decades. You know, we have major financial backing. We can make it happen here.
Aaron Murray here on the show. I'm Bill Ryder. This is Ryder Than You on the Infinity Sports Network. Aaron, let's do it the other direction. Let's have the tail wag the dog here. Let's just say that Kiffin decides to stay another year at Ole Miss, or hell, they make the national championship game and it pushes back the timeline, or whatever it is. You're LSU, you're Florida, you're Penn State, you're Auburn. Who should you be targeting after Lane Kiffin?
I mean, I think if you can get Dan Lanning out of Oregon, you put all your chips in him too. I think Dan is, you know, him and Kiffin, I would take either one of them right now. So, you know, I don't think Dan's going to leave. You know, I think if he would have, he probably would have had the opportunity last year to go to Alabama and do that. But I think he's very happy financially. They're very well off out there with Eugene and the relationship with Phil Knight and Nike. So, and they're winning. So I don't think he's going to go, but I think that's a conversation that needs to be had. I know I've heard Marcus Freeman talk. I think Marcus is happy at Notre Dame. They're winning. They're in the national championship. They're probably going to be a playoff team again next year. I don't think he would want to or need to leave. You know, for Auburn, I was actually talking to the Auburn and Alabama quarterback club the other night, and you know, I think for Auburn, summer all makes sense to me. You know, I had one of their games earlier this year at Tulane versus Duke, and got to sit down with him and really enjoyed him. Obviously, he's building has done a great job as a head coach there at Tulane. You know, right in the thick of it when it comes to being that playoff team from the Group of Five, I think he would be a perfect fit there at Auburn. You know, I think we all believe that, you know, Ford is not going to take a chance when it comes to a Group of Five team after the failed success with Billy Napier. You know, I think Eli Drinkwitz, you know, I talk about with Lane Kiffin, how Lane Kiffin's really adapted and bought into this new era of college football. I think Eli's done a great job too. You know, I've had a couple of their games over the past year. I had their first game this season. You see what he's done to their roster. He's all in on NIL. He's all in on the transfer portal. He brought in a great running back. He brought in a great quarterback. He brought in defensive ends to create some edge presence on the outside of the defense. So he's really understanding what it takes to win in this era. So I really like Eli kind of as that next guy for either one of those teams to bring in possibly to LSU or Florida.
By the way, I'm a Mizzou grad, so I know you're right, and I want Eli to cover his ears and pretend Mizzou's a big power and he shouldn't leave. Aaron Murray here on the show.
Last one. I mean, Joe Brady, too. Just popped my head.
Yeah.
I think Joe,
yeah.
I mean, obviously he has connections both there at Penn State and LSU. You know, having success in the NFL, I think he's one as well. May not prove as a head coach, but yeah, I could see him ending up maybe at a Penn State.
I'm glad you brought him up because a lot of the names that you're talking about, that we've talked about, the sort of odds-on favorites for some of these jobs, are current head coaches, right? Or guys that have been head coaches. I get that. Kirby Smart, obviously someone you're familiar with, was the defensive coordinator at Alabama. I know Steve Sarkisian had some other experience, but he was the offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach when he went to Texas. Maybe Brent Venables sort of put a little bit of a damper on the risks you run when a guy has a sort of makes that leap. But should there be more talk about coordinators? Are there, and I know Brady's obviously a coordinator right now at the NFL level, are there any other guys at the collegiate level, offensive, defensive coordinators, that you think should be in the mix for some of these jobs?
Yeah, one comes to mind just because I'm so close to it is Buster Faulkner at Georgia Tech. You see what he's done with Haynes King. You see what he's done with that offense. I mean, it is just unbelievable. I mean, Brent Key's done a great job. I mean, Brent Key's another name that obviously is going to get floated out along with Clark Lee there at Vanderbilt. I just don't know if those two are going to want to leave their alma maters. I'm sure they're getting paid well. You could say, hey, well, they'll get paid even more. Well, in the end of the day, if you're at a place where you love, a place you know, a place that you went to, you know, that university, you're getting paid well, you're winning football games, you know, do you really want to leave those situations? But if they do, I think there are other two that may be top, part of the top of the list. I mean, Kenny Dillingham, I had ASU last weekend versus Houston, and obviously we talked a little bit about it as well, and you know, he's a guy that loves Arizona State, went there, grew up in the area. You know, those are three great coaches that can all be great, great additions to all those universities. Just, you know, can you get them away from their alma mater is going to be the question. But go back to your question, I think like a Buster Faulkner, you know, like I said, like I love what he's done, you know, at Georgia Tech and that offense. They're winning, they're kicking butt. You know, I thought Haynes at all. And to see his development now at Georgia Tech, a guy that's going to be in the Heisman consideration, a team that has a good chance to be 11-0 as they get ready to face Georgia, and then probably be in the ACC championship. You know, he's an interesting name that if you want to go that OC route, that you may consider.
Aaron Murray, let me end here. Last question for you. I really appreciate the time and the perspective. We've seen some programs go from being punching bags to serious, legitimate contenders. Indiana is a great example, and that feels very real. This isn't just a one-off. You brought up Vandy just a minute ago, and obviously, and I have a lot of friends who went to Vanderbilt, they have gone from hiding their faces in college football season to proudly strutting around and sending me some text messages they wouldn't have dared to send a few years ago. To what degree, this is a two-parter, is Vandy a legitimate championship contender right now? And to what degree do you think this is sustainable over a 2 or 3 or 5 year timeline?
Well, I think, you know, are they capable right now? I think yes. I have them beating Texas this weekend. You know, if you can go into Austin and win a football game, you know, that's a tough venue against a lot of talent on Texas. But, you know, I'm not a big believer in Texas this year. I think we've seen them, you know, throughout the season. Obviously, we've seen the past 2 weeks just kind of skate by Kentucky and Mississippi State, but it's still a nice win, a really nice win against a team with a bunch of 4 and 5 stars, so you got to feel good about that. So, you know, even go back to Vanderbilt's loss to Alabama. I thought Diego, you know, all the shenanigans that he did before the game, you know, during the week, you know, I thought was a little bit too much and kind of bit him in the butt against a very good Alabama team on the road. But you look at Vanderbilt, they hard-nosed defense, you know, Diego and that offense is very difficult to kind of, you know, understand, and if you give them, you know, a defense only a week to kind of scheme about what they're doing, it's like a triple option at times. And as, you know, someone who played Georgia Tech for 4 years when they were on the triple option, I know how difficult it was both for a defense and for the opposing offense, because you understand, hey, I'm going to lose possessions. You know, if you look at Vanderbilt and their big wins over the past couple of years, they're holding the ball for 35 to 38 minutes. And for an offense on the other side, it stresses you out because it feels like you have to perform every single time you touch the football because you're going to lose three or four possessions. So are they a quality team that can go out there and compete for the rest of the season? I think so. And it's going to be obviously a big test this weekend. If they pass the test this weekend in Austin, I really think we are talking big time Vanderbilt as a playoff team this year. I really like them. I like Georgia Tech. I think they're spitting images of each other this season. And then, you know, long term, can it be sustainable? You know, the question is, what are they going to look like without Diego? You know, Diego is the heartbeat. You can say the same thing about Georgia Tech. Haynes King is the heartbeat of that football team. He, the way in which they play ignites both the offense and defense. So can you go out there in the transfer portal, or do you have someone in the wings that you can plug into the most important position on the football field that can make plays and get a team excited? Because those guys are just infectious in the locker room. They're infectious on the football team, and they're going to be very difficult to replace. But I think the belief from a fan base perspective for Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt is there to start bringing in more momentum when it comes to dollars from donors to make it really sustainable.
Aaron Murray, forgive the lie. You're too good. I have to ask you a follow-up question. You made me think of it when you brought up Texas. What did we get wrong, or what went wrong with Arch Manning?
I don't think necessarily we were wrong. I was never I got receipts on this. I was never on the bandwagon of Arch is going to be the number one pick in the draft. Arch is going to be a Heisman favorite. You know, I was very much in the, man, let's just wait and see. We saw some good against bad teams, but when you saw when he played good teams, he didn't really do anything last year in backup duty. My big thing was, I know, Spurrier, I feel like, stole this from me because I said it about a month before he did, was if he was that good, he would have played above Quinn a year ago because Quinn was a liability at times for Texas. And that was a really good roster. So I was very much in the camp of wait and see. And, you know, early on, it was not great for March at all. I had a couple of breakdowns of his game on my YouTube channel of just kind of all 22 looking at it. But I'll say this, the more you see throughout the season, it's I would say the majority of the problem for Texas is around him. It's the offensive line's atrocious. The receivers are average. The defense obviously has been great. Maybe not last week for Mississippi State, but I thought Arch is where he needs to be, a first-year starter who's just getting a little bit better and a little bit more comfortable every single week. But now it's, can we get better players around him? Can we get better offensive line? Can we get better receivers to make his second season next year even more better for him and for Texas?
Aaron Murray, great stuff, man. Appreciate you. Travel safe. Have a good talk tonight. And thank you, as always, for making time.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, brother. You too. Aaron Murray on the show. SiriusXM and ESPN college football analyst on the old exit, Aaron Murray 11. Ryan Hickey, I have a question for you. I have a thought for you. I'm not saying you should do this. I'm simply testing your loyalty to your alma mater. Okay? I'm not endorsing this view.
Okay.
It's not my view. I think Aaron Murray's outstanding. I think he's excellent. I think everything he said was great. But I wonder if you shouldn't clip the very short, I don't really take Penn State seriously, and you shouldn't nominate him for Bum of the Week tomorrow. I don't think you should. I think it's wrong. I'm just putting it out there because I saw the look on your face.
That definitely struck a chord that I did not expect from such a smart man like Aaron Murray to say that. That hurt.
What I should have asked him is, what would be a better job, Penn State or Missouri, if Eli went to LSU?
I think we both know the answer to that one.
He's going Mizzou.
That'd
Aaron
be
Murray, the actual
answer.
Expert's going, I don't know. Anyway, just food for thought for you. Chew on that while we contemplate what's going to be an amazing buy or sell where we get to all the headlines from sports and a take on each one next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Come on, you're New York City. You're the biggest, most vibrant city in America and one of the most incredible cities in the world. You have two football teams. You can't field one football team that's any good.
I don't know how you feel about this. I would argue the Giants have been more of an embarrassment than the Jets even over the last few years.
It's trying to, take two morons and have an idiot contest. And okay. Congratulations.
You both wink.
This other guy won, so you're doesn't make you smart. You're still a moron. You're in the competition, but way to go. I know that because I won
Sports Network.
Ones.
Is it hanging on your wall, like your wall of fame in your house?
Nah, because you're the one that finished second, so it didn't feel like as big a...
It's still an insult to yourself. You know that.
I know.
You were the bigger idiot compared to me. That's tough to do.
You no, no. Not the bigger... Damn, well, I screwed that up. That's because I'm an idiot. I got it wrong because I'm a moron. What's going on here? I can't believe you're rooting for Canada over America.
I think a lot of Americans are.
I think they are, too. Very funny, by the way, that what's broken out in Canada is a debate about whether or not you should consider the Blue Jays win a win for Canada. Most people do, but some contrarians are saying that there's no Canadians on the Blue Jays team, which is, I think, incredibly dumb. Of course it's a win for Canada.
It's just like in hockey. Well, like right. If an American exactly. team made up of Canadians wins a Stanley Cup, it's still a win right. for America.
No, if a bunch of Americans play for Canada, that's a Canadian win because they haven't won a Stanley Cup in a long time.
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah the right. Calgary Flames and every single right. player is American, but the Flames
right.
win.
Who cares?
That's a right. win for Canada. Just like if the New York Rangers, filled with all Canadian players, won the Stanley Cup, it's a win for America.
1,000%.
That's so, you know, people are actually out there saying that?
People are dumb. Do you know who's celebrating in the streets if the Blue Jays win tomorrow night? The Canadians are. They're all dancing in Toronto.
They don't care what.
What are we talking about? You know what? Can we get those people in the dumb contest so we can actually not win the idiot contest? I got it. I like it. Speaking of which, this portion of the program is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million of coverage with no medical exam. Just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
Just to clear up the record, by the way, I was not selling your idea. I'm actually going to...
Buy.
Love the idea. Put them in the idiot contest. I was selling just the idiots in general, just for believing that. Terrible. But the reason why that debate is going on...
I clicked on one of these arguments, and now it's all on my timeline.
Ooh.
You know, if you click on one random thing,
that's the worst thing with social media now.
Yeah.
You click on one thing, they assume that's what you love, and now I'm just going to spam you with it 24/7.
I saw some funny 80s clip, Schwarzenegger doing something, and I clicked on it and watched it, and now I cannot get off my timeline. Grainy 80s stuff.
Once they get the hooks into you, they're just going to keep on going and going and going. Very, very, very annoying. But the reason why Canadians are one step away from celebrating, Bill, is because the Blue Jays last night won Game 5 and are now one win away from their first title since 1993 as they beat the Dodgers 6-1 on Wednesday night. Trey Yesavage made history as he became the first rookie pitcher. We said the other day, you can't say without kind
buy
of putting
it. The... I buy Yesavage as a pronunciation.
Buy.
Yep.
Yesavage. He became
which
the
is
first...
the most American pronunciation, by the way, of a Canadian team.
Very true.
Well, what a Canadian pronunciation. Oh, you savage. Oh, boy, you
savage.
Bye. That's a good one. That's a good Canadian impression.
Thank you.
You savage. I was going to try to do a Canadian accent there. So
you savage.
He became the first rookie pitcher to strike out 12 batters in a World Series game. He became the first pitcher ever in a World Series game to strike out 12 batters while issuing zero walks. Also became the third pitcher in World Series history to strike out all 9 hitters at least once. He also induced 23 swings and misses, the most by a pitcher in a World Series game since at least 2008. That is when pitch tracking first started. Buy or sell, Bill? This was one of the most impressive pitching performances you've ever seen.
I mean, it sounds like an exaggeration, but I think it's a buy.
Buy.
No, I think we credit, and maybe wrongly, the Dodgers with the chance to win this series, right? Win again. Had the Dodgers won, and it would have been wrong, but I think we would have all considered it the series over. The guy is in his 8th major league game of all time. He's facing a who's who of offensive super talent. He's going up against an accomplished pitcher on the other side. Yeah, it's an amazing performance. And his stuff... Look, the box score doesn't lie. He was incredible, right? It doesn't matter. Greg Maddux did not overpower people. He just fooled them. And so there's different ways to pitch. His stuff was electric last night.
Let's get real nuts. This performance last night was more impressive than the bloody sock Curt Schilling Was that game six ALCS against the Yankees?
Oh, man. I was that to get it to a game seven? I can't even remember.
Yes. They're down 3-0 in the ALCS, not even the World Series.
Right.
That was to keep their season alive.
Was it at Yankee Stadium?
At Yankee Stadium.
I actually think the Bloody Sox is a little overrated for the Sox. I think it's amazing for the performance. I'll sell because...
Sell.
It's really hard because the World Series is different. I might be wrong on this. The weight of Yankees-Red Sox and the curse, the history that still loomed over Boston was pretty intense. It's like the Cubs doing against the Cardinals or something, you know? Or if the Cardinals spent like the Yankees did. That's a great question. That was a tough one.
Let's go. All right, so the Dodgers, Bill, came into the Fall Classic as heavy favorites to win it all. They were the biggest World Series favorite since the Astros in 2019. Favorites, though, have fared well in the World Series. Specifically, four of the last five teams favored, you know, once they got to the World Series to win it all, have won it all. Buy or sell, the Blue Jays winning the World Series would be one of the biggest upsets of this century.
This challenges my recall. I'm trying to of the century?
Century, so that's 25 years. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Right, yeah, yeah. Since
yeah,
you
you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the century.
Yeah, never a doubt.
No, I was just trying to think about...
I think the Nationals over the Astros in 2019 is probably up there.
When the Marlins won back in...
03? 2003? Diamondbacks, even, in 01?
Oh, yeah. I'll sell. I mean...
Sell.
The Blue Jays are a really good team, and we're one of the picks to come out of the American League. It's not as if this is the little engine that could. It's David, right? David was a warrior. Goliath was a monster. Was he a monster or an ogre? What was Goliath?
I think more of an... I think both. Like a gigantic ogre.
One eye, right? Had one eye. Am I making that up?
Well, I'm not sure if there's actually... a depiction of what Goliath looks like. But if I were to say, I don't think he has one
well,
eye.
I don't
think he has a
two eyes. But impaired by a condition. Okay, got it.
He had a condition now?
I don't know, man. It's AI. The legend. It's probably wrong. It's Akram. I can't say it. Buy or sell, you want me to try to pronounce this word?
Buy.
Akram Egoli. Totally. I don't know, man.
Sell.
Thank you.
And you honestly may have pronounced it right, but that what is that even supposed to, what is that word representing or mean?
It's a disorder often associated with vision problems, like tunnel vision and constructed visual fields, according to Catholic Bridge, ResearchGate, and the Jewish Virtual Library. So maybe part of the reason Dave was able to take Goliath down with the slingshot, even though he had two eyes, he had trouble seeing. So then he just...
couldn't see the periphery. All of a sudden, the rock comes to the side of the head. Right. He couldn't dodge it.
Right.
Interesting. Maybe the Dodgers hitters have the same thing. They can't see the ball. That's why they're swinging and missing all the time.
Goliath bets.
Bye.
We touch it all on the show. History, random art facts. David versus Goliath, we got it all. Well, I guess you could say maybe David versus Goliath is tonight on Thursday Night Football, Bill. As guess what?
Oh, boy.
Lamar Jackson officially back. He will start for the Ravens as they take on the Dolphins in Miami later tonight. Fins are coming off a 34-10 blowout win over the Falcons, in which Tua threw for four touchdown passes, and he's facing a Baltimore defense that has allowed, on average, 30 points per game this season. Baltimore heads in as a 7.5-point road favorite. Buy or sell, the Ravens win tonight and cover.
Sell, man. I mean,
sell.
Most teams don't cover on the road on Thursday Night Football. Buy or sell, the idea this could be a great game is Stark Ravens mad.
Sell.
I don't even know what you... What?
Stark Raving mad? Stark Raving mad? Stark Ravens mad?
Sell.
Now, it's also... I don't know that term. Stark... Is like Stark Raging mad?
No, Stark Raving mad.
I've never heard of that.
Okay.
Should I?
I mean, I guess so. I'm pretty sure it's an expression.
I mean,
definitely
if it's an expression...
TV show in 1999.
I'll sell myself for not knowing that, I guess.
Well,
I don't know.
I've been known to make stuff up, for sure. No, yeah, completely irrational, out of touch with reality. Stark Raving Mad. Well, I mean, just... It's not even an expression. It's just three words together that form a meaning. It's you're absolutely raving mad.
Yeah, crazy. But void of sounds is also three words strung together.
Bye. It's a good point.
You know, we don't want to talk about
Stark. That's why it's Stark Raven's mad.
I mean, look.
Bye.
It was an attempt.
You got it right. Maybe it's on me for not knowing the expression. Maybe it's on you that is just outdated and no one says it anymore. But it is a real, I'm going to trust you that it's real. And so because it's real, you nailed it.
Bye.
It was an effort. It was a real effort.
In college football, Bill, speaking of making an effort, Nebraska is doing everything they possibly can to keep their head coach Matt Rhule in Lincoln. And according to 24/7 Huskers, they're reporting that Nebraska head coach Matt Rhule is signing an extension to stay in Lincoln through 2030. Now, official announcement is expected later today, and if true, will all but guarantee that Rhule will not be the next Penn State head coach. Buy or sell? Matt Rhule made the right decision in choosing Nebraska over Penn State.
Well, I like loyalty, and I think he'll get time. Buy, and he's going to get a crazy buyout that they'll have to give him 3 years probably. Buy or sell, as a Penn State fan, this is welcome news.
Buy.
So you think they would have been stark raving mad, Penn State, to hire him?
Buy.
I'm going to start using that term a lot now. Oh, it'd be very stark and raving and very mad.
You're going to use it wrong,
man. You talked about it a little bit with Aaron Murray just before. Texas quarterback Arch Manning, Bill, is questionable for Saturday's game against number 9 Vanderbilt after he suffered a concussion in overtime against Mississippi State last Saturday. Now, the Horns enter this week with a record of 6-2. They are ranked 20th in the country, and already do have one top 10 victory on their resume as they beat Oklahoma a few weeks ago. Buy or sell, you will start to believe in Texas again as a national title caliber team if they beat Vanderbilt.
That's the thing, is don't they kind of remind you a little bit of Colorado last year, where they've been disappointing, but there is a path, and there's all this hype, and it's hard to sort of assess. I mean, sell. Would be the talk. I thought Aaron Murray made a great point that we have not seen, not really, Arch play well against really good teams. Is Oklahoma a good team? I don't think they are.
And even in that win, did not play particularly great.
Right. Buy or sell, Oklahoma is going to enter a period of darkness the way that Nebraska did.
Ooh.
Sell.
I think they still have some advantages in terms of the conference. I think in their location, I think their history is a lot longer that I think.
I don't think it is. Not from where Nebraska was. When Nebraska fell off, they had won national championships plural. How many has Oklahoma won since Bob Stoops won?
Yes, won. But they've been a good team for, I mean, Nebraska in like the 70s or the 60s. I don't know.
I think they were pretty solid.
I still think Oklahoma is a better chance to tread water than Nebraska.
No, I'm not saying better chance. I'm just saying that they're going to enter a period of darkness like Nebraska did 10 years ago.
I should say, you're right. I don't think they're going to be a perennial 6-6 team every year.
Right. I'll buy that. I think it's on the table.
Buy.
The thing is, when a Mizzou emerges, right, and starts to play above their station, when a Vanderbilt emerges and starts to play above their station, there's only so many wins to go around. That has to come at the expense of somebody else. Indiana, if Indiana is a perennial 10-win team, and I think people think that they are, that is not in a vacuum. That is at the expense of victories for other Big Ten teams. So, who is Oklahoma bumping back down?
That's a good question. You got to hope that Florida maybe continues to scuffle their feet. You got to hope maybe LSU takes a step back.
Hires the wrong. Can't,
right.
Right.
With this, I mean, now the governor.
Hires James AD, Franklin.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Maybe Mizzou, like they've been on the rise, right, the last
few years. No, they're going to be, they're a sure thing forever.
Lock it up.
Lock that down.
Death taxes at Mizzou football being great.
That's it. Being great. Drinkowitz it up.
Let's finish here, Bill.
Okay.
Last night.
Talk to
Andrew
me.
Filippone of our sister station.
Oh, I don't want to talk. No, this hurts me even to think about it. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Now finish it.
Oh, okay. We can go on.
Oh.
So Andrew Filippone of our sister station, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, he paid off a bet in which he got his nipples pierced because he said that he will get his nipples pierced if the Steelers lost to the Bengals on Thursday Night Football.
Do you think that hurt a lot?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes. So we learned earlier in the show you are not going to give up your right leg for the Bears to win a Super Bowl or three.
Yeah.
But buy or sell, you would ever make a bet on a game that involves piercing a body part.
I mean, I just can't.
Sell.
No. Oh,
what about a tattoo?
Physical pain. My buddy Ryan that I hung out this weekend has a bunch of tattoos. We talked about it. I mean, I don't like needles, bro. I'm not a needles guy. Buy that I would do that before piercing.
Buy.
But luckily I get to choose it, so no thank you. Also, and by the way, people that like that are tatted up, sleeve tats, whatever, great. Live your best life. Just not my thing.
Let me ask you this. So, obviously, the piercings happen, right? If you're Filippone, your nipples are pierced. You pay off the bet.
I got it.
How long do you have to leave them in for before you can take them out and live your life as usual?
Today. I mean, you got the piercing. I think it's right.
Well, do you have to, is it like, don't you have to, wait, if you get your ears pierced, like, leave it in for, like, 2 weeks to, like, have the whole form?
But it can close again. I can't have this is horrible.
Really? This is like going to make your skin crawl, huh?
It really does. It really does. So I don't know.
You can't watch a video?
No. Have you watched it?
I have. It's not like, it's fine.
I mean, I don't know Filippone, but I feel for the guy. Like, this is just, don't make bets. This is the thing. I've gambled my entire life. I used to sit at a card table with real gamblers when I was 8 or 9 at like the family get-togethers. And you learn the lesson, never gamble what you're not willing to lose. Ever. For any reason. I'm not willing to get my nipples pierced. There's just no universe where I'd ever even allow those words to come out of my mouth. Ever. For any reason.
For everyone listening, just to paint the picture, Bill is literally hands over
in
his
physical
nipples,
pain. By the way, I can take a punch, right? I've been punched in the face a bunch. I've whatever, fine. I don't like it, but I can take it. I've broken bones playing sports. I've run a half. I ran a half marathon after I twisted my ankle because the idiots who put the race together in Des Moines didn't do the trail right, and ran on pure adrenaline and then couldn't walk for 6 weeks. I have some pain thresholds. Not on this, as you can see. Can't do it. Hell no.
I'm glad we ended right there then. Okay.
Okay. Now I'm going to have to drink tonight. I wasn't going to drink tonight. Now I'm going to drink a lot tonight just to get rid of this memory. Unbelievable, Ryan. Let's talk a little more World Series and why the Dodgers can still win this thing after we get a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Bill, your Sports Flash is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. After getting mowed down by Jays rookie righty Trey Savage last night, the Dodgers are hitting just 201 in this World Series. They do not have an extra base hit with a runner in scoring position yet in the series, and they're down 3-2 after losing Game 5, 6-1 at home. Manager Dave Roberts.
Doesn't feel great. You clearly see those guys finding ways to get hits and move the baseball forward. And we're not doing a good job of it.
Those guys, the Jays, started Game 5 with back-to-back homers from Davis Schneider and Vlad Guerrero Jr. Game 6 in Toronto tomorrow night. The Jays 1 win away now from their first title since 1993. The Washington Nationals are reportedly hiring 33-year-old Blake Butera as their new manager. He'd be the youngest skipper in the majors in 53 years. Butera has managed 4 seasons in the Rays minor league system and finish first each time. And Kent State football has given interim coach Mark Carney the full-time gig. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you here on the program. This portion of the show is sponsored by the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Learn how it's so much more than just another SUV at HyundaiUSA.com. So we've got Dodgers Blue Jays tomorrow. Last 2 games, obviously, in Toronto at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 out here on the West Coast. And then if there's a Game 7, it will be on Saturday, same time. I hope we get there. It does feel like the Dodgers' bat's going cold, the brutality of where their offense is. Can we pull that Mookie Betts clip back up? You start to press a little bit when you get into this position, right? It's hard to swing free when you're down 3-2 and you're supposed to win, and Betts was talking about himself after the loss last night, but again, it applies to a lot of these Dodgers.
I've just been terrible. I've been terrible, and there's no... I wish it was from lack of effort. I really do, but it's not, so I don't have any answers.
And the Blue Jays, who, by the way, had more pressure, who were down, who have won now a few games in a row, they Ryan, they've jumped on the Dodgers early, too. They've been able to give themselves some breathing room. I know that because I'm watching the games, but also because Ryan Hickey has developed a very specific way to represent Blue Jays excellence. You really are going full Canadian. I'm shocked you're not wearing the Maple Leaf because you found, an emoji that looks like a Blue Jay, and then you send me the number of Blue Jay emojis in the first inning, for how many runs they score.
You like that?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm rooting for the Dodgers, it turns out.
Kind of surprising, I will say, number one, that we don't have a Blue Jay emoji. I feel like it's a pretty common bird. Anyway.
Where'd you find it? Was it just, it's just a bird? Is that what it is? It looks like blue.
I type in bird on my phone, and... Okay.
But it's blue.
Right, and that's the closest one that I'm able to use.
Oh, there are some options that came up.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's like a raven, there's a blackbird that kind of looks like a raven, which kind of works. You're talking about the ravens. There's like, you know, a yellow bird. I think there's a hummingbird maybe, like the, you know, eagle. You got a good amount of variety of birds.
It's pretty funny.
I'm glad you like it. I'll keep on doing it now.
What would be, if I wanted to clap back at your Canadian heart, what would be the Dodger emoji equivalent?
I think it would just be a bag of money.
That's really funny. Tomorrow, if the Dodgers scored 3 runs in the first inning, you're getting 3 bags of money. But given the fact that it's the Dodgers, there is a chance you will get no bags of money or 1 bag of money sent over the course of the game. If the Dodgers simply win Game 6, and simply is not as easily said as done, but if they win Game 6, there's every reason to think they can win this thing. The series is far from over. It's the easy answer. I'm trying to think who I think. If the Dodgers get the kind of pitching they need, and they haven't the last few performances, the kind of starting pitching they need, but they need a little bit of offensive help. They need somebody to actually step up and be the hero. Who's the best bet? The easy answer is Shohei Ohtani. I don't think it'll be Mookie Betts. Sometimes guys jump out of slumps, but it's hard to do in a World Series in Game 6. You're traveling. Freddie Freeman might be the answer. The walk-off king? I think I'm going to bet on Shohei if I got to bet on somebody.
And that also is kind of part of the problem of, like, it's really been him and Teoscar Hernandez, a little bit of Freddie Freeman, and it's like you have on a daily night 6-7 bats ice cold. And yeah. So it's like, I mean, Shohei, look, he got on base 9 times. Let's say they needed 18 innings to beat the Blue Jays. You won the game, but he got on base 9 times, had an historic performance, and you barely won the game.
I will say this. Yoshinobu Yamamoto has been, I mean, he has been kind of what Savage was last night. He's been a sure thing his last couple outings.
Let me ask you this. Can
you really rely on him to go 9-1 earned run innings again?
That's what I was going to ask. He's done it 2 straight games, 2 straight complete games. Is that a good thing or a bad thing if you're the Dodgers?
Great thing. Confidence, right? Because we've seen this with the Randy Johnsons and the Mad Bums and guys over the years who would just get in the zone and have so much confidence that they were almost sure. They were playoff beasts, right? They, in a sport where one guy can't always do it in the playoffs, that's not true. There are some players that just put the teams on their backs in World Series and in playoff series. But it's not, by the way, he's not going up against another rookie who's trying to overperform. He's going up against Kevin Gausman in this game. I think he's the next guy up. I mean, that's, if you can't win the Trey Savage Blake Snell showdown, anything can happen. What's more likely? Yamamoto goes 7 or 8 dominant innings, or Shohei Ohtani has an offensive performance for the ages, or even just a 2-home-run, 3 or 4 RBI performance, not even for the ages.
I'll go with Yamamoto.
Me too.
He's so good. Now, you wonder, like, eventually it has to come. Now, what does a come down look like? Is it to your, like you said, is it 7 innings of 1 run, which is still a come down from the last 2 starts,
right?
But still pretty damn good.
What's amazing is Yamamoto is, for all intents and purposes, a free agency signing. I mean, they had to do a posting fee and brought him over from Japan. Shohei Ohtani is somebody they brought in. Freddie Freeman is somebody that they brought in. I mean, you talk about, like, most, Blake Snell is somebody that they brought in. I mean, I can go down the list. I'm rooting for the Dodgers. They were easier to root for when Cody Bellinger and Corey Seager were part of the mix because they developed. Now, they developed Will Smith, right? So that's from their minor league system, and he's hitting cleanup for the most part in most of these lineups. But it by the way, Kevin Gausman wasn't drafted by the Blue Jays, so there's a little bit of, although Tregeus Savage was.
That he was. Nice, I mean, nice draft pick by them.
Or in a Canadian, Trey, you know, Savage. Might not, you know, voice goes up a little bit and you gotta slow it down. You Savage. Now that kind of went back to New York. It's gonna be an amazing game. Not as amazing Ravens Dolphins. It won't be. But we're gonna talk about it tomorrow. And we're gonna do it with great flair and excitement. Thank you to Aaron Murray. Thank you to Andrew Bogus. Thank you to Ryan Hickey. I'm Bill Ryder. Appreciate you. See you here tomorrow on Ryder Than You.